Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 638. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, is, I think, downstairs. Or in the hallway. No, look. Probably downstairs at the moment. Or in the other room. I opened the blinds in the other room to hopefully distract him a little bit, as since last week, and he got that brief few minutes outside, he's still been meowing a lot. He's still been like, hey man, I got a taste. I need more of the hair on. You need to get the H. I got a taste for the H. I'm chasing that dragon now. I need to go out there again. It was only got three legs, man. And there's a lot of dogs in the neighborhood. You know, I'd need like a catio or something if I'm going to be letting this fella out. It's, there's other animals. And, it seems risky to let the fella out. I'm recording this one late. It's Sunday. I don't normally record on Sundays. I'm recording this right before I put it out onto the internet. I mean, that's almost live. I'll be just throwing it up immediately after. Normally, you know, I do it on Saturdays, sometimes Fridays. But that didn't happen. I did go to the Blues game last night. I was gonna record it Friday night, but, see, I had gotten three Blues tickets. My friend from work, Rob, and of course, John Boy from work, we've been gone to a few, now that makes our third game, me and John going to a game together, but, it's almost like we're going steady. anyway. Not fucking them, I swear. it's funny. I'd love to give him shit. He has fun. He'll joke around about gay stuff and like, you know, and that doesn't bother him. But for some reason, the man does not like playing as a woman on video games. He can't do it. And I don't understand. Because if, you know, I do enjoy some women, you know, and if I'm going to play a video game and I have to look at a character all the time, I'd prefer it be a woman. I'm being like, hell yeah. Give me an attractive woman to play as. I'm going to definitely be down for that. John Boy, no. He's like, ooh, no, I can't do that. Which makes me wonder if like secretly deep down he wants a sex change or something and he just can't admit that to himself. I'm not sure what's going on there. anyway, so yeah, we were supposed to have our friend Rob go with us because Rob's like, you know, I'll be down for that. And so I was like, all right, man, well, I'll buy the tickets. And then, you know, Rob missed a day of work and had some other bill come up. And he's like, yeah, ooh, I don't know, it was like $70 for the ticket. He's like, yeah. Yeah, I can't really do that. And he's like, but, you know, if you can't, like, sell the ticket or whatever, you know, I guess I'll bite the bullet and do it. But, like, so I'm like, all right, man, fuck. Well, I have several friends that I figured would probably be down for going to the Blues game. And I figured my buddy Toddy, who was on an early episode of the show, you know, like within the first year of the show. So, you know, well over a decade ago, 12 years ago. And, yeah, I've known Toddy for, you know, like 30 plus years. Todd took me to my first Blues game. That was, around 2008, 2009-ish. And, So I was like, you know what? I hadn't seen him in, shit, I guess a couple of years. And I was like, let's fucking get Toddy out here. And he was down for it. So Toddy went there with John and I. John was I think he was a little nervous being around somebody that I'd known for so long and that we were such close friends. And I did tell him the story where the Muffin Man back at my 25th birthday when Foxinator, please calm down, man, as I might have to pause. Man, this is getting to be like every episode now. We're having to accommodate you as you try to chime in. And then I lose my place, which I do without you chiming in. And have to get you to calm down somehow. Anyway. Oh, he sees birds out there. That's what's going on. I see birds flying by the window. That's why he's losing his shit right now. You're not getting the birds, dude. It ain't happening. Anyway. So yeah, I think I made John a little bit nervous about, Toddy, mainly because, you know, John's like 34, you know, Todd and I are both 43, going on 44. So we're a little older, you know, a little older, and, had a lot of history, but, I told John before he met Todd some stories about him, and one of the such stories was my 25th birthday, of course, the Muffin Man. The Muffin Man was over, another fella that the Muffin Man and I worked with at that time, Dan, and we went to the Landing in Washington. I had an apartment down the street from it, and we had quite a few drinks there, and then I had like a bottle, at least a fifth of Captain or something at home. And kept the party going when I got home. And I had known at that point in time my one and only real serious relationship. I hadn't started yet, but I knew she had liked me. And Muffin Man just happened to have her number. And while, of course, again, reiterate, we were real drunk. And he's like, let's call her up. Muffin Man like gets the phone out. I think he just called her and then basically handed me the phone. But I guess I wasn't drunk enough to make a complete ass of myself. And actually it worked out. Like, we actually planned to have a date like the next day, the day after my 25th birthday. Fox, calm down, man. Calm down. Come here. Come here, you. Come here. You're going to chime in. You got to do it on mic. You got to come up here. You got to come up here. Don't claw the shit out of me. Don't claw the shit out of me, homie. Anyway, yeah, so, like, Muffin Man didn't screw it up for me, but Todd was not happy about that. And he thought, you know, Muffin Man was really screwing it up for me by having me, like, call her while I was wasted, and I guess I was just drunk enough. And anyhow, Muffin Man, not long after the phone call, goes outside to have a cigarette. At the time, he was still smoking cigarettes, and Dan, Todd, and I were still in the apartment, and I had thought that Todd was joking around because he'd taken like three of Muffin Man's cigarettes and proceeded to stick them up his ass. Now, I didn't think he had actually shoved them in his ass, but when Muffin Man came back, Dan told him immediately that the cigarettes had gone up Todd's ass. And then the next day, as I was, like, cleaning my place up, Again, I was like, man, he didn't really do that. He just acted like he did. But I picked the cigarettes up, and there was a brown ring around each of the cigarettes that I found. I was like, holy shit, he really did stick those up his ass. Which I've known Todd forever. I'm surprised. I really didn't believe that he had done it, but... Oh man. So yeah, I told John about that story, and John constantly gives me shit. So I think maybe he was worried to give me too much shit. He was like, man, I don't know what of mine he's gonna stick up his ass. What are you doing, man? He's knocking stuff off my other desk. That's okay. I'd rather do that than meow constantly. But yeah, that might have made John a little paranoid about giving me a whole lot of grief. You know, before we met up with Todd, though, we had a good time. The Blues game was not great. I mean, I had a fun time at the Blues game, but I mean, they lost like 8 or 9 to 1. We left a little early. It was a bloodbath. You know, I mean, possibly the guy that's going to take the lead for most goals in the NHL was playing Alexander Ovechkin, and he got 2. How old is he? Oh, he's 39. I was thinking he was a little bit older. He looks older than me. He's like full gray. But I guess, you know, you're playing the NHL, man. He's quite the fucking player. Dude is close to getting... real close to getting that I think when they said at the start of last night's game, they had said he was within 30 of getting Gretzky's record, which is insane that anybody even comes close to that. Last I really was aware that like Lemieux was still in second for that, and there was a good gap between Lemieux and Gretzky. I mean, Lemieux maybe would have had a shot at it had he not had cancer and like missed a couple seasons or whatever over the cancer thing. And you know, it was at like the height of his career. Yeah, I mean, shit, like Ovechkin is just a beast. So it was not really surprising, you know, he got 2 goals last night. As it's you know, I mean, it was kind of exciting to see. You know, I'd love to. Although I was at one point in time in the game, I was like, man, the Blues need to just break Ovechkin before he breaks Gretzky's record. I mean, it's awful to say, but I love Gretzky. I mean, he was on the Blues briefly, you know? It'll be a damn shame to see one of the, you know, one of Gretzky's records. But he's got so many records, Gretzky does. It seems unlikely that a lot of those are going to fall. I mean, the dude's just, I mean, he was the great one. I feel like, you know, Gretzky could come out of retirement just to pad those stats a little bit and still score like, you know, 90 in a season. Well, probably not 90, you know, but I would score like 50 to 60 a season, you know, being that he's like 60. You know? He could totally do it still. He's the great one. Anyway, before the game, though, like John had come over like pretty early in the morning because we were still going to fix his old PlayStation. He got the new PlayStation Pro that when we, of course, last week I had talked about it on the show, I do believe, that we tried to fix this PS5 and did the liquid metal stuff. And, the controller issue happened because the ribbon cable was damaged for the USB port. And, I had ordered one of those, the new ribbon cable. And we, John put it on, Saturday before the game. Way before the game. He came over real fucking early. And, it did not take long at all to put that on. And then it appears he didn't plug in the LED cord all the way, or maybe that got damaged as well. So, but when he turned it on, the lights didn't show up on the PlayStation, but it worked. And he was able to play several games, and there was no ever heating issues yesterday. So the overheating issue was fixed. Though, you know, his lights don't light up on the system. I don't think it's a real problem. But it appears, you know, the system is working. So he's got two working PS5s at the moment. He can play games on both of them. And he can get his saved games out of there. So, I mean, there's a lot of plus sides to that. And, you know, if he were to sell, you know, he could now sell the one PlayStation 5. And it's probably get a little bit more out of it since it works. You know, if it was broken, he could still sell it. But, yeah, I would hope that he would get a little bit more money out of it. but yeah, after that, we went again. Man, what really sucked about the day was like it rained like the whole day and night, and because I was just gonna say fuck it and like jump on the metro. And ride the metro over there, maybe hang out around like Union Station. But because of the rain, that really put a hamper in things. I didn't want to be very far away from the Enterprise Center with it raining and have to fucking, you know, walk a couple of miles in the rain. Just didn't sound tantalizing, if you will. So I ended up getting parking there, like the closest one I could find to the Enterprise Center. But before we went, well, John and I ended up hitting up Hot Shots, and we played pool. I haven't played pool in shit years, and I was afraid because you know John's like way better at me at Call of Duty, and I hear about it at work all the time. He gives me so much shit for sucking at Call of Duty. I was like, oh, fuck, man, if he just completely obliterates me at pool, which I suck, but and it's been years since I played, like, I will never hear the end of this, too. Like, he's going to tell everybody how terrible I am at pool. But we were, like, equally as bad, pretty much. Like, John should have had me one game where he cleared the ball of, he cleared the table of his balls. And then, he either scratched on the 8 or knocked it in the wrong pocket. Like, he called for the pocket, and, but I would say, like, that didn't feel like a real win because I had, like, maybe knocked one of my balls in, if that, on that game. So, I mean, that game, he really just destroyed me, although he technically lost. But, I mean, I had some games where I was clearing my balls off the table, like, pretty much, like, immediately. Like, at least one game where, like, it was almost just, like, bam, 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 bam. And so, I mean, it was, I think I, you know, officially had more wins. But, again, yeah, I mean, there was a couple matches there where my wins were, because he, like, scratched on the 8 or hit the wrong pocket. And so, I'd say we were pretty well split. and then we hit up the Galleria, and hung out there and checked out like the sports shit, the blue stuff they had for sale there and everything while we were waiting for Todd, cause he wasn't going to be ready till like 3 something. And, then Todd ended up meeting us at the gallery, and then we proceeded to go to the game. Probably the most fucked up thing, though, at the game, like the pisser of the game, like when I got to the parking lot, it was some parking lot for some church that I parked at, which was fairly close. It was only a couple of blocks away from like the Enterprise Center. It was but it wasn't too far from the previous lot I had parked at, which for the public library. And I got to say, I preferred that parking lot. I preferred that parking lot. One was bigger. It didn't fill up all the way. And then at this church parking lot, this attendant, she had me park very specifically. And she had me park. She wouldn't let me park right next to this silver car. There was... and she's like, no, don't park there. Park to the spot to the right of that, which was also empty. There was like, but it looked like there'd be the last spot. As Mr. Fox, you need to calm down. Calm down, sir. And you gonna get on mic now? You gonna get on mic? You gonna stand on my keyboard? Don't stop the recording, man. Anyway, when I it seemed a little fishy. Because there was, like, again, how to explain this, there's one car, like, this is the last, there's one car, there's two spots next to the right of this car that are open, and that second spot to the right of that is, like, the last official parking spot open on that side. And she didn't want me to park right next to the car that was there. She wanted me to go... leave a spot in between myself and that other car and me take the last spot. And then when I pulled in there, she was very specific. Like when I pulled in there, she didn't like it. She was like, no, you need to be right on the yellow line. Like right on that yellow line. And I'm like, what the fuck would I do that for? Then it's going to make it really hard for somebody to get the space in between these two cars now. And I'm like, and she had me pull all the way forward. And to the right of my car, there was a little bit of a space. Not a space for a car. But then there was the curb. I was like, this is really fucking weird. And she's had me pull all the way fucking forward. And I'm thinking, man, I'm expecting to come back out here. And what are they going to, like, box me in with a few different cars behind me? And like, they must have, like, really been excited to see a Mini Cooper come in. And they're like, oh, man, we can... we can only count that as like a quarter of a spot. We can fit so many more cars in here around that. And when we went to leave, like it was still raining, so we were trying to get to the car pretty quickly. And they really kind of fucked me. The attendant wasn't around when I got back to the spot. And, of course, we left early. Maybe it would have been better had we stayed till the end and maybe more people taken off out of the parking lot. Because, like, most of the cars were still in that parking lot when we left. And I get back there, and they had parked a car behind my car in not in a actual spot. So, like, she... the attendant, well, I mean, they must have been like, we're going to get every chunk of money out of these spots that we can. And so they had me fucking blocked in. I mean, this car was parked behind, not like directly behind me, but there was like one little foot of space. I would have to cut my wheel like immediately and just try to really be fucking careful pulling out of there. And it was a real bitch. It was a real bitch. and I was so not happy about that. Todd had to get out of the car while it was like pouring down rain and like kind of make sure that I wasn't going to hit that fucking car. This Fox needs to calm down, buddy. Calm down, man. Calm down, sir. Calm down. But yeah, that was the worst part about the game, not the fact that they lost, but the fact that the attendant, as Fox, will still not stop. the parking situation was a real pisser. It's a real pisser. I need to have some like filter on here that like filters out meows. This is getting to be a regular occurrence. It's a bit much, buddy. It's a bit much. It's nice, I guess, that you're trying to contribute here. But I imagine it's a little on the annoying side, or at least it's annoying me, you know. Yeah, one of the other funny moments about the game, I was giving John some shit because, like, he gets cold easy. I was giving him a lot of shit about it, and he had seen some kid walking by that had a blanket, and you know, I had thought about getting a blanket anyway to have for putting on my sofa instead of using like the moving blankets. I'm like, well, let's have a Blues blanket to throw on the sofa, and so. I was like, you know what, John? I'll buy a blanket so you can use it. So you can have a blanket. You can have my blanket because you're cold. I'll wrap you up in the blanket. I was like, I don't know, I'm going to tell everybody at work about it. I was like, oh, yeah, this is going to be fantastic. And then I got the blanket all out. I bought the blanket and took it out there, and I was like, John, come on, like wrap up in it, and like maybe we could snuggle underneath it, and like we get a picture, like Todd, we'll have Todd take a picture, and we can send it to people at work. He was not appreciating that. He ended up not using the blanket. He's like, you know, it's pretty warm in here. I don't think I need it in here. I was like, man, it'd be great if we were both had this blanket over us, and then like they had us on the Jumbotron. And then like somebody else from work was either at the game or just happened to be see it on TV, and then just like, oh, holy shit. Is that John? But yeah, yeah, he did not end up using the blanket or snuggling with me underneath it. And I'm still going to tell people at work I bought a blanket for him, though, so he could use it. Because he was cold. Oh, shit. But, yeah. I mean, the game was good. I ate too much food there and had a good time again, even though they lost badly. Which I feel like there was some other big news like this last week, like maybe Tuesday. Oh, it was Guy Fawkes Day. That's what it was. Remember the 5th of November. It was Guy Fawkes Day. Yeah. It's like Vendetta. Oh, yeah. And there was an election. Something about that. Something happened. Somebody was elected. I guess I should be somewhat concerned that, you know, I might perhaps be on an enemies list. You know, because Trump has said that, you know, he's going to get retribution for, you know, all the people that have wronged him and such. Not that I've, like, personally wronged him, per se. But I've talked a lot of shit on him on this show before, like a lot of shit, especially the first time he was elected, and made well known my disdain. And you know, if they're gonna, you know, go after everybody, then, you know, perhaps, you know, recording my voice acknowledging that on the internet might lead to some issues in the future. I mean, he has more power now than any other U.S. president has ever had, as the Supreme Court has said that as long as it's done as president, as basically anything he does is an official act, so, and that it should be free from all prosecution, regardless of what it is. So if he has SEAL Team 6 come in, drop in, and just take me out, it's totally legal. Totally legal. As long as he waits till January 20th to do so. And does it as president, as official act. That's totally fine. That's totally fine. And fully legal. totally in his power to do so. Thanks. Thanks, Supreme Court. And, of course, he's got the House and the Senate. So there's no one really to, you know, do any checks or balances there. There's, I mean, it's just 100% control. And, you know, all the Republicans that are pretty much left are fully on board. So I don't feel like there's, you know, going to be any stopping that. Again, not that saying that, you know, I'm really afraid that I'm going to be taken out. I'm sure there's plenty of other people in front of me on the list. I'm not a sitting U.S. politician, so I doubt I've got no power. There's like a little over 100 people that listen to this each month. Highly doubt. But you never know. There could be, you know, one person that's important enough that they could have me, you know, sent to a labor camp. yes. But, I'm thinking I'm low on the list, unless they're going alphabetically. Because my last name, of course, is Albrecht. And it's been nice having that for when lists happen and they do alphabetical and I come up first. But, you know, usually that list is like, at work, if we're going to sign some paperwork to say that, oh, yeah, we did the training on this. And, like, I don't have to look for my name. I just go right to the top and be like, bam, hell yeah. I have to look through these four pages. Like, suck it. Or, you know, whatever. it's come in handy for a lot of instances like that. Be like, yes, number one on the list. But yeah, if it's an enemy's list, and again, if they're going alphabetical, I'm gonna be like, shit, I'm going to be at the top. It's going to be like, yeah, he's not important, but we're going alphabetically. We're going alphabetically. So that would not be fortunate. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little nervous about all the policies he plans to enact. I mean, I was nervous the first time around. I kind of want to just laugh and watch as everything burns. I am nervous about what's going to happen to myself personally, though, you know, I am white male, older white male, which means that, you know, that I am exactly who MAGA is intended for. That is the intended demo. Old white guys, that's who they're really looking after for. So, however, though, I am still somewhat attached to reality. And I realized that the policies would hurt me. And that being, of course, this tariff situation is one that's going to be implemented from what Trump has said, like, immediately. And it's going to be, like, according to him, like, all foreign goods, not just, you know, stuff from China, which even just doing it to China with these massive tariffs would make us pay a lot more for shit. There's a lot of products that aren't made in the U.S., are not made in the U.S., and it's not like overnight somebody's going to be like, oh, well, we can't afford to buy this stuff from China, so we're just going to start making it ourselves. It's not that simple to just flip a switch, and then all of a sudden there's a bunch of American companies making these products that we only get from China. It doesn't work that way. So what happens is, you know, that's not going to bring down inflation. That's going to do the opposite and raise the prices of things because the government puts a tariff on there, and so you pay more for the product. The idea of a tariff is to make foreign goods as expensive as an American product and to encourage you to buy the American product, because if they're the same price, of course, why are you going to buy something from foreign? You're going to support home, right? But if you don't have that alternative, again, there's no U.S. thing to buy of that. You have no choice but to pay for that foreign good that is now more expensive. there's apparently already several companies that have bought up all the goods that they can while they're the current price from China and are or from wherever, and are already raising their prices because they, you know, taking Trump at his word, which, you know, he's a wild card. Maybe he decides not to do it. But again, this is like his number one campaign promise. It's like number one or number two. And so these tariffs are going to, I mean, it's going to wreak havoc. There's going to be a lot of job losses. Prices of shit's going to go way up. As if we haven't had enough of that in the last several years. And then, of course, if he legitimately deports all these people, deportation plan? I want to say he's set up to like 20 million, which is, I mean, he said somewhere upwards of like 20 million or something like that. Some ridiculous number, which they want to end birthright citizenship. So if your parents were immigrants and you were born here, you're not a citizen, which by, you know, law that's, I think, been around since we started as a country. Maybe I'm wrong here. I don't know when birthright citizenship started. But, you know, being born here, like, grants you being a citizen. He wants to end that and deport a lot of people that had birthright citizenship. Which, again, I am a white male. which wouldn't pertain to me because of my, you know, we're several generations past when my families came to this country. But again, I have a slight little bit of Native American in me, but it's only a small percentage. They're the only ones that were, you know, originally from this country. But you would have deported, you know, a lot of my family before me because they would have had birthright citizenship. Being as though most of them were from Europe. I'm pretty sure, though, they're probably not. Just call me crazy. Call me crazy. I don't think they're going to be going after the Europeans that use the birthright citizenship. Something tells me that. Call it intuition. But anywhere down south, they're going to be like, oh, sorry, you're going to this other country. And since you don't, you were actually born here, you've never known another country, I guess we get to deport you to whatever country we feel like doing. But, you know, that's going to be, I mean, it's morally wrong to just herd up 20 million people and just fucking force them. I mean, you're going to have to detain them somewhere, so you're going to most likely have internment camps. You know, wouldn't want to call them concentration camps because that's so wrong. As I mean, it's basically what, you know, the Nazis did, but it's also, you know, I guess what we did to the Japanese during World War II, where we just gathered them up, took them out of their homes, and threw them in internment camps. I don't know what the numbers were on the Japanese. Pretty sure it wasn't 20 million. But yeah, this is gonna, you know, this is also bad for the economy as well, as they do pay into, even undocumented workers end up paying into social funds like Social Security and stuff. They don't get to collect on that. They don't get to use Social Security. I forgot how that works exactly, but the ITN number, right? Whatever the hell it is, before. I guess the employer, whoever employs them, ends up paying into Social Security and Medicare and all that shit. for having to pay these undocumented workers. that, you know, they pay into that basically and not never receive any benefit for it. So that's like, apparently in 2022 there was like $96 billion paid into Social Security and whatnot from undocumented workers. That's a massive amount of money that would disappear overnight if they are able to deport all these people. Would make it really difficult for anyone to receive Social Security after that. And, you know, would probably become insolvent within a couple years. And it sucks. You know, my mother relies on that. She's, you know, retired. And I don't know what would happen there. Unfortunately, I guess you'd end up having to move in with me, which I hope that doesn't end up happening. You know, I love my mother, but I really don't want her living with me. Is that so wrong? But yeah, I mean, there's some, and not to mention when, if you deport all these people, there's something like, was it 50%? I'm not sure what the numbers are. But migrants basically feed us in this country. It's somewhere. Yeah. Again, I'm pulling these numbers out of my ass. I, you know, I'm not really looking what the exact numbers are. But our food basically has, like, the people that produce it is, like, 50%-ish, like, migrants that do that, whether they be undocumented or not. I don't know what the breakdown is on that. But, like, the people that pick the fruit and everything is, like, done by fucking migrants. And, I fucking, you know, I like migrants. Don't make it sound negative there. I'm not anti-immigrant. Just want to clarify that. But if you take all those people away, there's no one that's going to be, or it's not like you can just find American workers, white people, to go out there specifically, because let's be real, like, the people they're going to be getting rid of are people that are non-white. That's the ones that they're mainly going to be going after. Doubt they're going to be like, there's an Irish immigrant over there, let's get him the fuck out. Anyway, but that's going to lead to massive food shortages, you know, if they're able to get it done. That's a big if. There's no saying that they're, hell, I mean, it's Trump, he could just decide not to do it. It seems unlikely, though. This seems like, I mean, this was possibly his number one campaign thing. You know, the tariffs is probably number two. So, I mean, this is, seems the biggest thing is they just hate immigrants and they want to, you know, do away with that. So, and there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of immigrants that voted for this, a lot of Latino voters. Not undocumented. Undocumented's, spoiler alert, can't vote in the election. You know, I know that Trump has said that the, yeah, that, yeah, they did that illegally, and that's how, like, you know, there, he lost by 3 million votes in the popular vote against Clinton. It's because a bunch of undocumented immigrants voted, but that's not true. But he was able to convince enough people that, you know, the last election was rigged, and this time around he won the popular vote. So, way to go on your misinformation campaign. Thanks, Elon Musk. You've done so much for the world. And, but yeah, it's not looking great. It's not looking great. I don't know why so many people that voted for him are saying, you're going to be so excited. You're going to be rich. I'm worried if I'm going to lose my fucking job. Like last year at the beginning of the year, I mean, I build steel joists for buildings. And, you know, the winter time is just a slow time for the construction business. And so last year, I mean, they had to cut our hours at the beginning of the year. And that was with no tariffs, no getting rid of immigrants. That, So I'm a little concerned. I'm real concerned that, you know, I don't know where they source their steel from at work. Maybe it's overseas, even if it's not, you know, I mean, there's these tariffs are going to make it, I would assume that just less people are going to have money to build shit. And so they're not going to want to do a new building if, like, they're going to have to cut, you know, 10,000 workers and cut back everywhere. They're not going to be like, oh, we need a new facility for less people. So I, you know, I'm afraid that, you know, construction's just going to dry up completely. I don't see how it's, I'm saying there's just not any real positive outlook on this from my point of view. Maybe I just need to, I just need those MAGA lens. I need to find some MAGA lens. I don't know where they buy those. Buy some big Trump glasses. Maybe I need to really huff Jankum. You know, this, the that used to be my nickname. And it was joking because I would just talk about Jankum. And if you're unfamiliar with Jankum, it's also known as butt hash. Of course, where you take a bottle and put some shit in there, like literal physical human shit. And the bottle, top it with a little piss on top. And then, of course, put a balloon on top to capture the gases, the methane gases that come from the shit. And just set that bottle in the sun to, like, help release those gases. And then you take that balloon off and with the, it's full of gas, of methane, and you just huff it. Maybe I need to do that to really enjoy this next at least 4 years. Because, you know, in the past, Trump has said that he, when, like, Xi Jinping did away with term limits for presidents in China, like, Trump is like, we need to do that here. And, like, that's fantastic. I love that. And so, you know, I foresee him trying to do away with term limits. But, again, the guy's old as shit. He's now the oldest. He's going to be the oldest president at inauguration. Biden was a little bit younger when he was inaugurated. He's like 2 years older than Trump or something. If Trump makes it 4 years, which, I mean, he is the most physically healthy person in all of history to be in his late 70s. I mean, of course he's going to survive the 4 years. That guy is just, I mean, what a specimen, right? But, you know, in reality, I mean, he's going to be 82 in 4 years. And, you know, not in great health. He's clearly, I mean, if you're a rational person and you've seen him talk a lot, it's clear that he's got some dementia. I mean, it doesn't appear to be quite as bad as, like, Biden's dementia. But he's clearly not with it, and that's saying a lot for Trump, because that's saying that perhaps he was with it at some point. I would argue that possibly never. It, you know, best just really delusional. But I would say that, I mean, he will most, I would assume, do away with term limits. And there's no one that's going to say no to that, as they control the House and the Senate. And the Supreme Court is fully on board with whatever he wants to do. So I don't see that anyone going, oh, no. You know, in the past, we have had presidents. Well, I'm pretty sure FDR was the only one that went more than one term. I think after, it was like right after FDR, they decided to do away with that. Served 3 terms. Was there more? Yeah, Roosevelt is the only one to serve more than 2 terms. Yeah, he was on his 4th term when he died in office. He is the only one to ever serve more than 2 terms. you know, that was done away with a long time ago. And I don't see anybody trying to stop Trump if he just goes, yeah, you know what, we're going president for life. So from my vantage point, like, who knows if we'll ever see an end to this. And I mean, the way he's going to most likely appoint at least two more Supreme Court justices, because it sounds like Clarence Thomas and Judge Alito, I believe, are going to retire now once Trump gets into office, and let him appoint two more younger MAGA judges. And that'll ensure that this continues on for, you know, decades to come. So, I mean, I'm thinking this is just going to be the way of the land now for, decades, not just 4 years. I mean, we're looking at a long period of time. I would, you know, I'd be a little concerned if I was a Democratic politician that voiced opposition to Trump, you know, because I mean, if you follow Russian politics at all, it can be very dangerous to oppose the true leader, Vladimir Putin, if you will. For some reason, and I've been to Russia twice. I didn't notice this when I was there, but I was quite curious that, like, what is up with the windows there? Because it seems like a lot of politicians and people that just oppose Putin in general, like journalists and what have you, tend to fall out windows. I don't know what it is. You know, I was near some windows in the hotel rooms I was at. They were not on the ground floor. And yet I didn't fall out them, and I didn't feel a fear of falling out it. But apparently it's a big thing. So I'm concerned that we might end up getting windows like Russia, and just saying, there might be some people falling out those windows. It's a real problem. This is the kind of thing that happens when you have authoritarian leaders. Watch out for windows. It's a big concern. I think that might be the leading cause of death in Russia, minus the war in Ukraine, which will, and unfortunately, who knows what's going to happen with that now. But I feel like, you know, because I try to keep up on news in Russia. I feel like Putin's on his last days, and I don't think Trump's going to be able to save him unless, I mean, he does some obscenely crazy shit. And what's going on in Ukraine, I mean, Europe's going to continue to support Ukraine, it looks like. And they don't really have much choice on that, because if Putin takes Ukraine, then he's not going to stop. He's going to move on to the next countries. So it's in their best interest to make sure that Ukraine does not fall. But Trump seems to be, you know, fully on board with Putin. He loves the man. He loves the man, calls him brilliant and whatnot. And I would venture to guess he would try to, at the very least, try to get Zelensky to surrender and at least give Putin the areas of land in which that Russia currently occupies. And you know, I could see Russia going with that for a little while, but then, you know, regrouping, waiting a few years, and then they're just going to push again, which is exactly what they did, which Trump has said, you know, Putin wouldn't, you know, invade Ukraine while he was president, which they were fighting Ukraine while he was president. Spoiler alert. Or I don't know if that's spoiler, but just a reminder, because they had actually invaded during the Obama administration. In 2014, they had taken Crimea and entered Donetsk and the Luhansk region and continued to fight Ukrainians there throughout Trump's presidency. And then, of course, they didn't go for the full-scale invasion until 2022. But I would assume, you know, that Trump is going to try to help Putin win that. I don't know how drastic he's going to go. I mean, he may just give the Russians a lot of our intelligence on where the Ukrainians are at, their bases and everything, and just help the, help guide their missiles, if you will. I mean, there's a lot of shit he could do. And he loves, you know, little Kim. He loves Kim Jong-un. And, you know, they're helping Russia as well. And I could see him doing things to help North Korea on the same terms. And, you know, we're, you know, good allies with South Korea. So that's not a great thing to be helping them out. And, I mean, he's a brutal dictator. There's that, too. I mean, there's some moral, some real moral issues here. I mean, it's not some countries I really want to support there. I mean, I like a lot of Russians. I've known some Russians, but I don't want to support Vladimir Putin and the shit that he's done. And, of course, there's the whole Israel thing. I mean, this, there's just some bad shit that's about to happen. I mean, Israel, I think, is going to be the real worst situation because Trump has already said to Netanyahu, do whatever you want. And I'm sure he's going to give them far more arms than we've already given them. And he's going to give them, give Netanyahu the go-ahead to just flatten Gaza and take all of the West Bank. I mean, it's going to be, I mean, it's already been genocide. It's been terrible. But if people really thought that Trump was the answer to ending that, you know, man, it's going to be bad. It's going to be really, really bad. I mean, it's just gonna, it, yeah, it's not good. I've, this is the podcast that's going to get me arrested right here. This is going to, I think this one's going to make me move me up the list a little bit, but fuck that motherfucker. That's all I can say to that. And, yeah, he'll never have to pay a price for any crime that he's ever committed now. Not that I felt really that he was going to before the election happened. But I mean, the guy did try to overthrow the U.S. government. He had a violent mob attack the Capitol. His vice president was almost hung because of the shit he had said. And he didn't say, like, hey, don't hang the vice president. He was just like, yeah, fuck him, whatever. Hang that motherfucker. So he just, you know, sat by, watched. He was Nero in Rome when Rome was burning. He was just playing the fiddle. That was Trump. He was just maybe playing his fiddle while watching Fox News. Maybe he was just straight up jerking it. I mean, there's no one saying that. I'm saying that, but I feel like it's possible. He was playing his fiddle. And yeah, now we're probably going to get January 6th instead of, you know, the guy at the top going to jail for fucking inciting all of that. Now he's going to pardon everybody that went to jail over it, that, you know, shit on Nancy Pelosi's desk, which is kind of funny. You know, that stormed the Capitol, beat these police officers, and have legitimate reasons for, you know, going to jail for several years. Very legitimate reasons. He's going to pardon them all. And I mean, he's already called them heroes, as they've got the Jan 6th, like, choir and everything. I'm venturing to guess he's going to put up some kind of monument to Jan 6th. That's probably going to be made a holiday. We're like, we're supporting Jan 6th, the heroes, the Ashley Babbitt Day, the hero that died trying to attack all of the U.S. politicians. As yeah, it's fun times we're living in. And yeah, I mean, my initial thought too has just been not to, you know, I didn't cry or anything. I'm just like, well, here we are. But I kind of felt it, you know. I thought maybe when Biden was still in, and especially when that first debate happened, I was like, oh fuck, Trump's gonna win in a fucking landslide. It's gonna be a complete bloodbath. But when he dropped out and Kamala, like, went in, I thought, well, there was some, seemed to be genuine enthusiasm when she first got in. And so I was, like, optimistic that there was a chance. But, I mean, the polling going into it had, like, a dead heat. 49% It just like it's a crapshoot, and then it ended up being like it basically a bloodbath. I feel like Biden would have lost worse, but of course, I mean, Trump got like every swing state, and it was just and yet it's so weird, the states that had like abortion on the ballot voted for abortion. I think maybe one state didn't like it narrowly missed. I could be wrong on that, but like Missouri here voted for abortion, but voted for Trump, who is going to make abortion illegal federally. Although he's technically not making abortion illegal. From what I understand, they're going to use the Comstock Act, which is a law in the books from a long time ago, from before Roe v. Wade was passed, that made it illegal to transport abortion tools for the procedure, and which would essentially make abortion illegal in all of the United States. And they're just going to start reinforcing or, you know, using that law again, which was never like done away with. So it's like, hey, we didn't make it illegal. It's just this law was on the books still. We had to enforce the law. Huh. It's funny how that works. So I guess he can still say, like, he didn't, you know, he can still say, I made abortion legal. And he can still say, I didn't make abortion legal. It was this old law that's on the books. So the supporters can still say, oh, no, he didn't do that. but yeah, here we are. And minimum wage was voted. Missouri's a weird state, man. We'll vote progressively for a lot of stuff. We don't vote for progressive candidates usually. we'll vote to raise the minimum wage and do a lot of things that would theoretically be in the best interests of most of the people live here, and then vote for candidates that are not for those things. It's very strange. Very strange. Although, you know, the Democrats in this state too, though, usually run to the right. Like, which it seems that most Democrats these days in period are just going further to the right, as the Republicans go way more to the right. So the far, far right, the Democrats keep moving more to the right. Just, you know. So, I mean, we're not left with a whole lot of options. You got some outliers. You got some candidates that are, you know, pretty far left, but they're only a handful. Only a handful. So, yeah. I mean, you know, it is what it is. It's Trump's world, and we're living in it. And we'll just get to see what happens as I guess try to enjoy watching it all burn. Though I don't know what it is. I tend to have empathy, and I wish I could get rid of that. I wish I could go say fuck it and fuck everyone else. But it's just for whatever reason not in me. I am not wired that way. I don't know what my problem is. It's a real problem. You know, there's a lot of bad shit that goes on in the world. I don't feel bad for all of it. But the closer it gets to home, I start to feel, you know, like, ooh, like bad and, you know, somewhat responsible. I mean, I don't feel like it's my fault that he's going to deport all these people and stuff. But I mean, you know, I've had some migrant friends through the years and stuff. And I care about people in general. I mean, I'm not the kind of guy that generally gives like the shirt off my back or anything. I'm not the most caring guy. I don't want to say that. I'm no fucking saint. I can be a real dick a lot of times. But, you know, I don't want to see all these people deported. There's going to be a lot of people that die over that. I mean, if this is the case, it's going to create probably, you know, possibly the worst humanitarian crisis if they really deport like 20 million people since probably World War II. I mean, that is, you got to figure, you know, Ukraine, let's take Ukraine. Let's look at Ukraine. There's like 40 million-ish, or at least before the war, the full-scale war with Ukraine or with Russia. There's a little over 40 million people there. I don't know what the number is now. I'm sure it's less. But it's like the second largest country in Europe, and they've got a population of roughly 40 million people. And when this war broke out, you know, they had, I would guess, like probably a couple million that had to flee and out of their homes and whatnot. And that created a big humanitarian crisis. Now, if we have 20 million, you know, in our country, which is would be half the population of Ukraine, and a lot of them, if they're natural born citizens here and stuff, that technically have no fucking home country, you can't send them to any other country. It's like, where do you fucking go with these people? You just send them to some camps and, you know, hopefully they are fed somehow. I would imagine a lot of them are just going to fucking end up dying. That's just the reality of it. You know, it's, yeah. Don't really know what to say to it, but hey, you know, I'm going to go to hopefully at least a couple more Blues games. Shit's not going to get bad until January 20th. I mean, people are going to try to fight it. They're going to try to fight him in court. I would presume, though, the stuff that Trump really wants to get done is going to the Supreme Court. It's just going to take the case up quickly and then overrule any of the lower courts' judgments, unless it's just something totally heinous. I mean, the question is going to be, like, how bad is it going to be? It depends on the people below him, how much they are willing to go along with the people he orders to do things. Because in his first administration, I mean, he wanted to shoot protesters and stuff, but the people below said, no, we can't do that. But now it seems that he's gotten rid of all those people that would tell him no. So, I mean, when there's large protests against him this time and he's in office, you know, I foresee there being some shooting protesters and that sort of thing. Because if he's just got generals and whatnot that are only subservient to him and not the Constitution, then, you know, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? I just presume it's going to be bad. I mean, I lived through the first four years. And it wasn't great, in my opinion. It was not great. But I realize, you know, a lot of the country apparently feels that it was pretty great. You know, those gas prices were fantastic in March and April of 2020. You know, when no one was driving. There was something that was going on then. I don't know what it was. I guess that was during lockdowns. Maybe we'll get to do that again. Maybe we'll get to do that again. Something great to look forward to. Hopefully he gives out checks again and signs his name to it so everybody can see that I gave you that stimmy check that they ended up blaming on Biden. And which I guess when Biden came in, there was still like one more stimulus that had come out. But it was like agreed to do anyway during the Trump administration, which I was all for the stimulus check. I want to point that out. Like, fuck yeah. You give me that stimulus check, you motherfuckers. And anyway. Yeah. Just try to think happy thoughts. Hopefully, he doesn't destroy all of, you know, media. Independent journalists and whatnot, and he hates a lot of people that say bad shit about him. So I feel like Hollywood's going to be in a bit of a problem. I feel like a lot of the shows I like to watch, like The Boys, which they're having these storylines that are like anti-MAGA, basically making them as out the. I mean, Homelander is basically like the leader of the MAGA movement and the boys, and he's obviously the antagonist. You know, are shows like that going to continue to exist? Is that going to be like, nope, we can only watch things with Scott Baio and Kid Rock and Hulk Hogan? That's our leading men. And it's all going to be leading men. There's, if there's women, they're going to be washing dishes and cooking, wearing a burqa. Anyway, yeah. So I feel like I got this off my chest, and like, you know, I've given them a reason to go ahead and go after me, if I hadn't already before. Maybe I can move up a notch or two on that enemies list. The enemy within. So if the military comes knocking on my door in January or February, you know, hopefully they at least give me St. Paddy's Day. Give me one more birthday. I'll go, you know, hopefully go to the game before my birthday, because there's a game on the 16th of March. Go see the Blues one more time. Just a whirl. And then hopefully there's still somebody around to take care of my cat. I don't want Agent Fox Mulder being alone here, being an orphaned. He's already missing a leg, you know? He needs somebody to watch out for him. But, yeah, I guess that's really all I've got. So, but, you know, hopefully I'm just crazy. Hopefully I'm crazy, and we're all just going to be rich. We're all just going to be rich. We're going to be swimming in it. The cost of everything will be just, you know, pennies. Pennies on the dollar for all your food. It's going to be Shangri-La. We'll all finally be awake to the real thing, and that, you know, Trump is our savior, our Lord and Savior. It's hopefully, you know, maybe, you know, once I start doing that jankum for real, I can see it that way. So, as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.